Good morning, everybody. You're tuned to 850 The Buzz, and this is Computers 97. I'm Amnon Nissan, here with Larry Dial.
Good morning.
Good morning. And with Jim Duffy.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'll be your host here for the next 2 hours. And our number here at The Buzz is 860-0850, 860-0850. And this segment of the show is sponsored today by the New Computer Digest and by Computer Renaissance, with two area locations in Crossroads Shopping Center in Cary and in Raleigh in the North Hills Plaza across from North Hills Mall. Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Buenos dias.
Senor, he's talking to me like he's talking normally.
Who is this person?
Jim Duffy.
I mean, we were having such a good time.
Jim Duffy, tell us about you.
He landed.
Jim Duffy is Technos Computers.
Great.
Jim Duffy is a comedian extraordinaire.
Well, extraordinary.
Jim Duffy is, go ahead, Jim.
Let's see, I'm the president of Technos Computer Consulting. We are a training and consulting firm here in Raleigh, specializing in Visual Fox Pro, database management, stuff like that. A almost rookie to this show, and I'm going to be sitting here watching these two lunatics do their wonders, work their magic, have a grand old time, and try to entertain everybody.
That's what it's all about, anyway. I mean, people think they're supposed to call here and learn something.
Oh, God, no.
Never.
Jim teaches Fox Pro.
Visual Fox Pro.
He's doing it with a visual.
We're very particular and persnickety about these things.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'll let you off the hook this time.
See, we could do a whole program on Geek Speak about...
And Geek Speak?
Yes, but Visual Fox Pro, Fox Pro, databases, but no one would care.
This is true.
This is the problem.
This is true. Data who? Huh? What? Yeah.
Just make it work.
Fox what? Yes. Release the hound. No, wrong Fox.
Yeah, where did they ever come up with the name Fox Pro?
Good question.
Which marketing genius thought that one up?
That was probably Dave Fulton back at Fox Software years ago. Don't know.
And then Microsoft decided to keep it.
As well as they do everything else.
Everything.
They keep everything. I want to get here on a serious note a second. If you don't mind.
You must.
This is an email that I got about a week ago. It's concerning North Carolina Net Day. And it started with saying, last fall, over 16,000 volunteers wired 11,000 North Carolina classrooms, saving taxpayers at least $21 million. You'd think, wow, we're done, right? The next line says, And we only have 15,800 classrooms to go.
All right.
So, Net Day 97 is October 18th, 97.
Which is when? Next Saturday?
It is, I don't know, I didn't.
Today is the 11th. Yeah, it's next Saturday.
What is next?
This is a database expert.
I'm there.
Gentlemen. He's got a
date plus seven.
You don't understand something. He can't do it like that. It's visual.
That's right.
He has to see it.
Yeah. I need a calendar in front of me. I can't see it. I can't do it.
So what is Net Day North Carolina?
Go ahead.
Net Day North Carolina is an effort to prepare schools in North Carolina for internet access. On Net Day, organizations, businesses, and local communities join together in teams offering resources necessary to wire schools throughout North Carolina. And if you want to help, how can you help? The success of a program of this magnitude depends on the dedication and commitment of volunteers. If you can take directions, you're qualified. Each school needs.
We're out of there.
I'm more management. You, over there. Leave me alone. I'm management.
That's right. Have screwdriver. We'll give. Yes.
Here. So what they need is Category 5 wiring, punch down, test and repair. And then in helpers, they need to pull wire to locate tools, monitor cable forms, climb ladders, and serve refreshments.
Oh, I can do the refreshment.
You can do that, yeah.
You like that?
Diet Coke, anyone?
Can you bake?
I cook.
Oh, okay.
To volunteer, contact the midday coordinator at any participating school. A list of schools can be found at www.explorenet.org. Explorenet.org. And you can sign up online. Or you can call them at 1-888-NC-MIDDAY.
Amnon, this is all over the state, right?
Yeah, that's North Carolina, absolutely. And they need help, and I think it's a very, very good cause and very, very good reason to get out there and share what you know about computers with others.
And with the schools, but which reminds me, I need to thank you on the air for something that the Internet Center did. And that is gave some gifts to Enloe.
Yeah.
For their fundraising.
Sure.
Memberships for the Internet.
Absolutely.
And that was terrific because it's a good cause.
Schools and those kids who are going to do it or are going to manage this world for us in the next few years are important to invest in.
Well, they need to take care of us when we're old.
That's
the point.
What's the Internet?
You want fries with that?
860-0850, the buzz. 860-0850.
That was a good thing, Amnon. That was a very nice thing to do for school, and since my daughter's a student there, we appreciate it very much.
Sure. Sure.
Enough seriousness.
What else? Yeah, no, enough seriousness. Oh. Yeah.
We just followed golfers. I mean, how bad can it get?
These two guys walk into an Internet Center.
No, how bad can we get? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's really hard to get into the shoes of following the show. This we never did before. Now we're following the show. We're not just, I mean, we came in this morning and I'm coming in to prepare, and who knows? Somebody is in the studio.
We're playing through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And if someone calls and asks, you know, what's the right club on the third hole? We're in deep trouble.
Did you guys hear about the development that IBM came up with, the Motorola with copper instead of aluminum?
That was, yeah. You know, for chip manufacturers.
Yeah. For Coke cans?
That's a new purchase.
A week after IBM announced a technical breakthrough that would enable it to use copper rather than aluminum circuits on its microprocessor, Motorola says it's figured out how to do the same thing.
And how long will it take Intel to figure this
Motorola
out and buy them all?
Motorola has worked on the problem for the last 2.5 years and says the new technique could cut the cost of chips by about 30%.
Motorola worked on it for how long?
For 2.5 years.
And a single phone call from IBM, they figured it out?
And that's it.
Oops.
Bada bing.
Bada boom. Yeah.
So invest in copper stock?
Yeah, I hear you.
I guess.
It's interesting. They're saying that really the chips are really going to be able to run so much faster now because of the heat.
What I'm trying to figure out, though, on chip speed, let's calculate this. Now, it's really crazy out there, because if you start thinking about how much faster can it get that you really need on a day-to-day basis. I mean, we're not, you know, I'm running 200, an AMX 200, or AMD 200, there are 300s out, Jim, how fast can it get?
But look back when you had an AT, and you went, man, this thing screams.
Oh, I know.
I'll never have to get faster than that.
But I can't see this stuff happen now.
Two years from now, you'll look back and go, I was using the 200.
Not a chance. I know.
Have an XT for you.
Yeah.
Let's see who we have online here. Good morning, you're on 850, the buzz.
Good morning, Amnon. Dan.
Hello, Dan.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. It's time for me to reformat my C drive again. I'm getting all error messages about the paths aren't there.
It's only been 3 days.
I thought it was a week.
It's a couple weeks.
I go every hour.
And I'd welcome any advice y'all could give on just what I think I'll do. I've got a lot saved on my D drive, sort of as backup and stuff, so I don't even have to load.
Is the D drive another drive or just a partition?
Yeah, it's a different physical drive.
Okay.
And my plan is to unplug that D drive when I install Windows 95, so it won't see all those programs on D drive.
Very, very good.
And then can I just plug it in later after I get...
Absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That is the right way to do it, not just because of that, but because I've seen Many people do what you're trying to do, and then when they do F-Disk format, they're actually formatting the good drive, the one they did not mean to.
Oh, really?
And by unplugging it, you're taking that risk all completely out of the picture.
Yeah, but I want to leave it unplugged when I installed.
That's fine.
Okay.
I understand. Yeah.
Okay.
No, there's no problem doing that.
Okay. Great.
I must caution you on one thing, though.
What's that?
Why is it time to reformat?
Well,
You have problems with software, right?
Yeah, and
now,
conflict of programs and things.
Right. Now, what are you going to do with all the stuff that you're going to put on the D drive? You're going to format the drive, put Windows and everything, and then start copying the programs back?
Well, an example is like I have this little...
Dan, you didn't hear my question. Are you just copying the programs back into the C drive from me?
Well, yeah.
Well, what will happen then is there's a very good chance that you will copy over the files that created the conflicts, and you're back at square one. What you do when you format a drive, you need to go and reinstall the program. Don't copy it over. What you copy over and what you need to back up are the data files, not the programs themselves.
Okay.
Windows 95 has a very annoying habit.
Are we talking 95 or 3.1 first?
95.
Okay, go ahead.
It keeps everything in its registry, and unless you clean that out, you're going to wind up with the same stuff back. It's like a bad habit.
Well, that's what happened when just 3 weeks ago I reformatted it and I got the same conflict.
You copied back the same registry information.
So, okay.
You know, this is like going and your car is not running right, and you go for a tune-up and you take the spark plugs out and you check the compression, then you put the same spark plug back in and you say, wow, now I'm running. No, you're not.
All right.
You know, it's the same thing. You need to install the new programs and then copy from the D drive your data file.
Right.
Okay. All right. That'll save me a lot of grief. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, because the real problem is it's all the fault of database developers, because the registry is just a big database. You can never get rid of this stuff.
I do everything on a legal pad. I don't even touch those stupid electronic things.
It's all Jim's fault.
860-0850.
But that is a real issue, because people copy over all the stuff because they've been told, back it up, and that's very good advice. But you back up all the errors, too.
Absolutely.
You're going to do the same stuff.
That's the thing, is that there one file. I mean, you can go and you can install 95 and do the whole thing. You can bring one file back, even though 95 has the INIs and all the registry, it still has INIs.
Right.
You copy that file back, and the whole thing is back where it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all screwing and misbehaving. So, yeah, that when you do F-disk format, and don't forget to do an F-disk on it too, Dan. Not just format. Take advantage of it and do an F-disk so it redoes the whole drive. So F-disk and then format. And then just go ahead and install 95 from scratch and install all your programs from scratch. And when you're done, just go to the D drive and see where. Actually, you can leave the things on the D drive.
Right, just point your programs at it for data.
Sure, for data. Of course, it just eats disk space, but...
Well, if you just... Then you start eliminating things on the D drive.
Yeah,
I mean, you know me, I like partitions.
Disk space.
But remember one thing, you don't... He probably doesn't have 17 gig.
Oh, well.
You know, I mean, come on.
I have 128K single-sided floppy.
Yeah, that'll work. That's just enough for Windows and maybe Word.
I run NT workstation like that.
Oh, no, so you don't have room for Word.
Which letters? The letters W and K?
N and half a T.
860-0850. Jim.
Sir.
Oh, I like it. Respect. It's wonderful.
I'm talking to you, Larry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A lot of people... A lot of the applications today that are written, a lot of people don't know, are written in Visual Fox Pro.
As well as Visual Basic, C++, Visual Pascal, Delphi.
We don't want to mention that.
Bada bing. No, a lot of the application development out there is done in, if it's a database, I always look at this, if you're building a database application, why use a general purpose language tool like Visual Basic and hook into an engine when you've got something like Visual Fox, which is a database tool mm-hmm. with a language, with an engine, and you can distribute runtime royalty free, and you can build as many applications as you want, distribute them for free. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there in Visual Fox people don't know about, a lot of stuff written in Visual Basic that people don't know. Often you get this, you buy this shrink wrap product, throw it on there, you have no idea what it's written in,
right.
And you don't care.
Right, you want it to work.
Exactly. And so half the time the development language is more an issue with the developer himself than the actual user. If it works, people are happy.
Okay, so let me come back to you with this. There are other languages that you can write database applications with.
Correct.
Why is Fox Pro or Visual Fox Pro better? Faster, smaller, I don't know. I mean, why do people use it so much rather than use, I'm sure there's a new DBase, I don't know, 13, 14.
It's like a bad movie sequel.
I mean, what happened to the other database programs that were out there?
As far as like DBase and Paradox and stuff like that, as far as I know, Borland is still supporting, still doing.
So why do people write in Visual Fox Pro so much? And not using those Paradox and DBase and all those.
It's a word that starts with M, has Microsoft on the end of it.
Oh, right. Okay. I see. Okay, so that's what it is. It just meshes better with
I think a lot of people look at, I'm running Windows 95, or I'm running Windows NT workstation or server, and I'm using SQL Server database as a backend or something. What development tool should I use? And they've got this Developer Studio from Microsoft, and there's Visual Basic, Visual Fox Pro, Visual C. I think I'll use one of these. On the Visual Fox Pro side, it is a better tool than DBase. It's a better tool than Paradox. And a lot of people wonder what's going on at Borland to begin with.
Yeah.
I think they've got Delphi, and that's kind of floating their boat right now. And a lot of people wonder.
All right, tell you what.
Because he used to be big with Turbo C++. Remember the old Turbo C++?
Turbo everything.
He's cringing over there. It's a bad memory.
The only thing I think about C++ is it's more than a grade point average. That's all I know about C++.
All I know is it was painful.
Yeah.
Let's break away for a little commercial here. Your calls are coming up next on the station. You want to pay your rent and your mortgage, and now your car payment too. 850 The Buzz. And welcome back to Computers 97 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850. And with the studio with us today is Larry Dial, of course, and Jim Duffy, president of Take Note
Computer Consulting.
Computer Consulting.
Of course.
Oh, now we're finishing sentence for each other. Oh, isn't that?
Oh, isn't it?
It is, yes.
He's taking over, folks.
Well, after a week of staying together.
I understand. Now, when your show goes beta, does it become like Computer 98?
That's right. We don't know what release is.
Are we alpha or are we beta right now?
Last year, he tried to get a new name.
Yeah, I know.
And no one would volunteer. We're going to have to come up with a new one for this next year. I think Geek Speak, G-I-K-E. Geek Speak.
What, something else here from, before we get into this, I want to go back to Jim.
Dang.
What?
He was starting to fall asleep.
Larry?
You could have left him alone over there. We would have been safe the entire show.
I'm awake. Okay.
When people are talking about databases,
mm-hmm.
SQL Server,
mm-hmm.
SQL Server this and SQL Server that,
mm-hmm.
in a few words, what is it? A lot of people call and ask, and I figure there's a lot of people out there who want to know.
What's a database or what's SQL Server?
What is SQL Server? What is, it's an SQL Server.
Correct. An SQL database.
Which is pronounced SQL in the geek world.
SQL. And the next release will be the SQL. Okay.
The SQL to it.
SQL.
That would be horrible, wouldn't it? SQL squared. SQL. Terrible. It's too early for these things.
I know.
Who let him in?
That's right.
Quick, close the door before someone else comes in. SQL Server is a database server by Microsoft. It sits back on usually an NT, it has to be an NT server, and we'll sit there and wait for SQL select for information, queries for information. It will do the processing and send back across the network wire whatever records it finds that meet the criteria you're looking for. It's not a end user type tool or like Access as an end user database. It's definitely a developer type tool that is for large scale secure databases where you've got to secure them or they're very large, where Access and Visual Firefox for that matter just won't do the trick for you. Usually corporate distributed enterprise wide type applications, very large data.
So what is SQL?
SQL is a programming language that is very English-like, that will allow you to query the engine. Basically, the engine sits between you and the data, and you say to the engine, this is a real select statement. I'd like to select the first name and the last name, the city, the state, and the address from the employee table where the state equals North Carolina, and I'd like it in order by zip code. That's a select statement.
Right.
And SQL Server would look at that and go, okay, here are the people you want, and here's the stuff you want, and back it would come, and you could work with that record. Right. That's what a SQL database does.
Right, because SQL really means structured query language.
Let me get some bounty points going there. Ooh, Larry gets points.
Turn down those mics.
Larry gets minus 4 points for being too geeky.
Okay, that's a problem. But that's exactly what, you know, Jim's exactly right. Obviously, he works.
Excuse me? I don't hear that very often. What did you just say?
And I'm not even getting paid for this. What is this deal?
It was exactly right,
but,
stuff.
But $20 right now would be very nice.
$20. It was $50 last week.
Well,
860-0850-850 the buzz. And SQL Server will run, like, with Access also?
Oh, sure.
I mean, Larry here likes to use Access.
I'm sorry. You can... That's a handicap.
No, $50.
There's a sympathy card in the mail for you. SQL Server will work with as a back end to a front end Visual Fox Pro, Visual Basic, Access, Delphi, anything that can communicate via ODBC, which stands for, Larry?
Open Database Connectivity.
Ooh, more minus geeky points.
Oh, right.
You know too much.
Ooh, God.
Anything that can communicate via ODBC to a back end database, which SQL Server is ODBC compliant, if you can communicate through ODBC, Excel can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can pull information through SQL Server into the front end, which you're working with.
And that's a big thing, right? I mean, Microsoft is really
pushing SQL Server. Yeah.
It
seems like Microsoft pushes Visual Basic very heavy. They say use Visual Basic and use Access as the engine to hook into. Well, if you're finding your data is too big, or Access is what we refer to as too slow, then you can hook into SQL.
We need to put a 200 megahertz
there. That's
right. I'll hear from the Access folks. It's not that slow. It's not that slow. I swear.
Why, if there are any out there, here is your chance. I think somebody already let's see if somebody has something to tell you. Good morning, you're on 850 The Buzz.
Yes, am I?
Yeah.
I'm considering adding a zip drive to my system, and I see it advertised in both the SCSI and the parallel versions. What is the difference?
Well, the SCSI version will be a faster, well, I don't know that it will make that much difference. Are you thinking about internal?
No, I was thinking about external.
Just get the parallel. And the reason why? First of all, you can take it from one computer to another, and you don't know that another computer is going to have a SCSI port. You know every computer has a parallel port. So that's one safe thing, I mean, a safe statement for me to say and why I recommend it. With a SCSI also, what would happen is you would need to know how to configure it with IDs and things like that. The other side, though, is the downside to it. Don't think that the parallel will work along with your printer. They don't. You will have to get a second parallel port.
I already have two parallel ports, and I have two different printers.
Well, you're going to have to get a third one then.
Disconnect the printer.
Well, yeah, or disconnect the printer. But
so can I just unplug a printer and plug in the zip?
Absolutely.
And do my work on the zip and then unplug it and plug the printer back in.
Well, the thing is, the zip needs to have a driver installed, and you will have to unplug the printer and plug the zip before you boot so you can, what operating system are you using?
95.
Yeah, so it'll have to happen before you boot.
Can the driver be on the CPU and I can just select it?
You don't even have to. I mean, if it's not there, you you install it and you leave it installed. When you boot the next time, if it's not there, 95 will live with it. You'll just have that exclamation point in the device manager saying, I was having a problem with that device.
And so there's no way to just to select it without rebooting.
No, that's the problem. Is there?
No, you're absolutely right. I've done this too many times.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, and it's especially true with these laser printers because they require EPP and the zip drive conflicts with that. And
right.
So you need to have either one or the other when you boot up. But as long as you do that, you can use the same port.
Okay, so it's just a matter of rebooting every time I want to use it.
Every time you want to, if you want to print on this particular round of using your computer, you need your printer hooked up when you boot. If you
right.
want to use your zip, have your zip drive boot
and then reboot.
Up.
Now, are you buying the zip in order to take the data from one computer to another, or just to have
that? That was not the reason I was buying it, but that's something that I would probably want to do.
Okay, so then you are better off with a parallel port.
Well, then why? Device. Let's just talk about why are you buying a zip rather than something larger?
I'm in a commercial situation, and I have people bringing me zips.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Off
so,
and on.
So you need
so
it. Right.
And I need some additional hard disk space to some files that I want to back up and just keep separate.
Yeah, because there are some bigger parallel port driven
right,
portables.
But the thing is that's
but they're
the
not,
standard.
Yeah,
that's the standard. You know, it's like saying why don't people bring you a 2.8 floppy?
Exactly.
Who's got it? You know, yeah. Great, I've got the drive, but...
128K yeah. single-sided flash.
Okay. All right, well, I appreciate
I'm
going to
take him over now.
Yeah, but you can add another parallel port if you want to. It is possible to have LPT-3.
Well, I've got one of these little scanners here that you run a page through. I've got
right.
two printers. Mouse is on a SCSI, I think.
No, it's on a serial.
Serial.
Okay, it's on a serial. I don't know. I'm getting a lot of stuff on this unit.
You can also get a card that has two parallel ports on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you could wind up with four. You can technically have four parallel ports,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Well, last time we had trouble getting everything to work without conflicts.
It is a job to configure those to work without a conflict. Absolutely. You have a laser printer?
Well, no, I've got inkjet and then a dot matrix.
Did you think about getting a AB switch for the two printers?
Well, that's a possibility.
And then you can put them both on one parallel port and the zip on another.
And it's just a matter of when I print to select the right printer driver.
Right.
You select the right printer driver anyway, because if you're in Word and you want to print, you have a default printer and you have to choose it. So what you need to do is you need to switch it over to the right printer and then say, I want to print on that printer. Yeah.
Okay.
You can do that with the printers.
I may do it that way then. That sounds good. All right. Appreciate the help.
Sure. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. And but one closing thought about this. If you have a laser printer, don't use an AB box, a mechanical AB box.
It won't work.
It will work. It'll work.
I've never had one work on me with a laser printer.
But you can blow the printer.
Oh, it will work, but that's why they did.
Yeah,
it blows the printer.
I did it twice. Yeah,
first time, second time.
860-0850 The Buzz.
You know, this thing about standards and all on zip drives is real interesting, because I just saw the newest piece of. Portable mass storage is out, and it's got a 2.8 or 280 meg floppy or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Problem is, it's not compatible
with anything. Well, it will read 1.44s.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you know.
Put on a 1.44.
I know, it's going to take time before it becomes standard.
But look how long the 1.44s have been around.
Oh, yeah.
It's like hard drives keep growing, CPUs keep going. You look, right. The 1.44 is... Still
here.
Sitting there.
This is why, I mean, you can get a lot of money for your 128K single-sided.
You'd be surprised.
Because of the 1.44, it stands in your way.
Those 5.5-inch floppies,
yeah,
they're 5.25-inch floppies.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what I keep playing with my cats with?
Yeah, I understand. Back to his question about, we have a caller.
We have a caller.
This is a good thing.
Good morning, you're on 850 The Buzz.
Well, I was calling to tell you that I had a zip working on a box with my little second printer going right through it with no problems at all.
What kind of printer?
I have a laser jet, an HP, and I have a bubble jet, and the bubble jet goes through the zip. With no, I have a switch box. And then I heard you say don't use the switch box with the laser jet. So I wondered.
Wait, no. Hold it. Let's back
right.
up. How many parallel ports do you have?
I have one parallel port, a switch box, two printers, and a zip all working together.
I don't know. You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, that's what you just said.
I had an HP2 that I blew the board on it twice. Now, it didn't happen right away.
Yeah.
It's in the course of about 2 years.
Yeah.
It happened twice. And it's because when you switch over to the laser, it can send static discharge. Into it can discharge static into it, and that blows it. It's really, really sensitive. But if it's, how long has it been working like that?
Oh, about 6 months, maybe longer.
Okay, well, I mean, it may be, and it's one of those that you have to.
I had been warned not to try to put the printer through the zip, but you know, it's the laptop that give all the problems. It's
okay, never mind about warned. That's not a warning. I mean, the problem is that a lot of printers do not work through the zip drive.
Yeah,
that's
well,
the problem.
The HPs don't at all. They don't work through the scanner either.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is a lot of there was a lot of uproar about this that iOmegas told people that they can just get it and have a pass through to plug the printer, and the printer will not work.
All right, well,
I'm not warning you not to use it through the printer. What I am warning
don't use it
on a switch box. Now, is that switch box, is it a mechanical one that you turn the knob
right,
on?
Right, right.
Well, if it's working for you, use it.
But you're saying 6 months down the road it could blow the HP.
It can happen in 2 minutes, and it can maybe never happen.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, an extra parallel port is about $25 or $30 and takes almost nothing to put in. So it's worth the investment just to put in another parallel port.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. But I just wanted to say, your printer will work through that zip if it's not an HP.
If it's not a laser printer, right.
Turn
your computer off.
No. A laser printer may work, but I know that, I mean, with me, I couldn't get an HP disk jet to work through the zip.
iOmega does. If you go on their website, they discourage you from using laser printers because the bidirectional signals create conflicts and it's a mess.
Yeah.
Well, you've given me good advice that what I need to do is get another parallel port for that other printer. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Yeah, I mean it. I'm sure it'll work with some is it, like it worked with me with the switch box until. It blew.
Until it got you.
And I heard it, too. I mean, I heard it.
That must have hurt.
Yeah. Ear to the printer, huh?
Yeah. And we'll get to the question in a couple of minutes. We need to break away for another question.
The question of what? Why he's here?
No, the question is if you have a mouse that has a Cheerios logo on it, is a cereal mouse?
Yeah, it's understandable.
And if I click it on my screen two or three times, why doesn't it work?
Yeah, here you go.
And if it has cat on it?
I'm lost.
Is it a bus mouse? Your calls are coming up next on the station. They want to pay your rent and your mortgage and your car payment too. 850 The Buzz. And welcome back to Computers 97 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850. 860-0850. And I forgot, if you are a 360 communication customer, and you're in your car on your cell phone, you can just punch pound 850. Or is it 850 pound? No, I don't know.
I think it's pound 850.
Pound 850.
And you get to us.
Hey, we're having so much fun, you forget to give your sponsors.
Just make sure you stop at red lights.
Yes. you should not phone and drive.
Don't phone and drive.
Ouch.
Let's go back to what we're talking about.
The exciting world of databases.
Yeah, databases.
If you call that exciting.
We're in deep trouble.
Well, no. I've heard a lot about it this week. See, Jim's been at our facility.
Right. And
for the last week teaching.
I know. And his people come out for lunch. I walk around and give them access cards and try to deprogram them.
I tell them before we break for lunch, remain calm. You'll be hit with access information. Keep the visual fox pro face. Access. Oxpro. I was over there teaching a week doing one of our visual fox pro classes, our intro and app development class. Had a grand old time. I'll be over there. You'll get to see me again next week.
Get to see him again all next week.
Doing our advanced and client server class.
Even Hannah, my daughter, got in trouble because she wasn't answering the phone when she was supposed to.
Because
she went to talk with Jim.
The youth of America. I'm corrupting them as we speak.
I mean.
Corrupt the youth of America.
And it's really a great facility, too, isn't it? That place that you work in?
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I'm a happy camper.
What? There are people coming from all over the country. I mean, it's not local people.
No, I had I had two people from RTP in the class last week. We had 12 people. Had a woman come down from New Jersey. Had a guy come over from Kentucky. Had three people come over from Greenville, North Carolina. We pulled people nationally into our visual fox pro classes.
And you finally got the, what would you say, not acknowledgement, but the...
You mean Microsoft knows who I am?
Yeah.
last month, September? I think September. Yeah. The DevCon, the Visual Foxboro DevCon out in San Diego, I was one of the speakers out there.
Developers
Conference, Microsoft Visual Foxboro Developers Conference. I was a speaker out there and actually pretended like I knew what I was talking about. People bought it. This is a good thing.
I mean, this is like the super geek convention.
Oh, you're telling me. If you're in the Visual Fox, I kid you not, there were a couple people walking around with shirts that have little fox stuffed animals sewed on the shoulders, and they walk around like, look, I'm a real fox. They have little fox sewed around. I'm like, oh, my God.
It's time to switch careers.
Yeah.
They didn't have any activities like outside and the...
No, they never go outside.
Yeah. With the horn and...
Release
horses.
The hounds. No, that's when the bars open. All the hounds are going to the bars.
860-0850.
Isn't it funny, though, how Microsoft owns both of us? I mean, it doesn't matter what they got us covering.
That's right. I mean, they keep developing Visual Fox. They'll keep developing Access. Yeah. And SQL Server will be sitting back there saying, use me.
Yeah.
Access is a great, it's a good desktop platform for a small or end user database, where Visual Fox is a great development tool for your intermediate size database applications. You need a really large enterprise-wide distributed application. SQL Server is probably the tool to use for your back-end data. Front end, use what you like. Yeah. If you like Visual Fox, use it. I like Visual Fox. If you like Visual Basic, use it. C++, Pascal, Delphi, all of them. Come to the Oracle.
And then there's Oracle.
Sound effects we got in here.
We don't. I
don't need that board here with a sound effect. I just.
That's because you can't use it.
No, as a matter of fact, we don't need him. So.
We can have a grand time over here.
Listen to this.
I'm listening.
From EduPage. U.S. tells world, get on the net or get lost. Now, isn't that just like the U.S. that says something?
I heard Janet Reno say that at a press conference. She said, I want the tapes. Oh, yeah, by the way, if you're not on the internet, you're in trouble.
Yes. I love the guy's name. Ira Magaziner.
Well, no, he's been around a long time. Not him again.
Senior advisor for internet policy development told the representatives of 21 nations at a high-tech forum in Amsterdam that the internet is an engine growth for the world economy and that the private sector should lead the net development. We want to come together with other countries as equal partners, with the private sector leading and government playing a supporting role. Our approach is not to have a trade negotiations. By 2005, at least 1 billion people will be on the internet. If 40 million Frenchmen aren't there, that's their problem.
Do you think anyone really believes him? I mean,
attitude.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's attitude.
Ira Magaziner, if you recall, was the man who worked with Hillary Clinton on the national health care plan, and I don't know the gentleman. I just know what I read about him, and he either bored most people to death or made them so angry because of his arrogance at this point.
Well, I would think he would make people mad.
And you say something like this, and
it's amazing.
Some guy in France is going,
Those are magic.
They spit on him.
Monty Python line comes to mind. I'm not going to use it.
I mean, who else have we offended this morning? Golfers. We really didn't mean to offend golfers.
The French. We have
the French. We didn't offend.
We have offended the French.
$8.50 the buzz. 860-0850.
I quit commenting.
Here's something else that's interesting from EduPage. I mean, I love those little tidbits. UUNet, which is a company that provides access to internet service providers. They're like the part of the backbone. UUNet CEO John Sidgemore says the only reason most internet service providers are afraid to move from flat rate pricing to usage-based fees is competition for America Online. The minute he, AOL Steve Case, changes, everybody else will. I don't believe that. I'm not a consumer marketer.
Did you say that? Wait a minute. I don't believe that. Is that your comment?
I say that.
Oh, okay.
I can't imagine making money at that price. The whole problem with the U.S. communication system, and this is where it becomes interesting, is that it's flat rate priced. Not just the ISPs. Your local telephone bill is a flat rate priced. The whole model needs to change. People need to pay for what they're using. Can you imagine what would happen? Here we are, you know, complaining that the people are complaining that they want flat rate internet. Can you imagine if they start charging by the call? I mean, in a lot of parts, many parts of the country, they do pay by usage. Oh, you know, yeah. You pay 25 cents a call or whatever.
It's a hangover from the flat worlders.
But it's
like long distance. I mean, you pay for usage,
right?
And so you're always worried about, I'm on the phone for 5 minutes, got to go, been on too long. Quick.
Absolutely.
Use of the internet would tremendously decrease.
Absolutely. And then people will be able to do what they want to do a lot faster. So you get what you want, what you need to do, you do a lot faster because the roadways, the highways, the backbone is going to be clear. It's going to be, you know, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think a lot of the problems we all know that AOL has, they brought on themselves with this stuff because they encourage people to stay on, and they make it, the only way you could get on was to get on and never get off.
Yes, just stay on.
And there's a big discussion about it in one of the mailing lists. Or discussion groups that I subscribe to for internet service providers, and many of them really are looking for ways. How can we get away from flat rate and still make money? But the first step is, and I wasn't aware of it until somebody mentioned it. Many of them do flat rate because it's easy. When I told them that we do metered, we don't do unlimited, and we meter it. I get quite a few inquiries. How do you meter it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's easy to set it up and just, well, you know, we charge everybody $14.95 a month, and that's it. There's no reason for an accounting system.
Right.
So how do you do it? And it's amazing. And in all...
That's what that guy does, watching the lights flash in that room. He's just sitting there.
The guy with the beads? Yeah, I mean, you see him? Yeah.
It's an advocate. I shouldn't know that, but I do.
but the other real issue is that the consumer, Americans particularly, we want to know what we're spending. You know, we have this, what's it going to cost me? Well, I don't know what it's going to cost. It's going to cost you what you use. I don't want to hear that. What's it going to cost me?
You can look at it the same way. Here you get a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
You can't ask the company how much it's going to cost me because it all depends how much you're going to use it.
Right, but no, this is different. This is buying a service, and they want people still, they have that need.
Back to long distance, yeah. Dime a minute, 15 cents a minute. They know how much they're spending per minute.
So, absolutely. I mean, that's the appeal of AOL's flat rate.
I've been on AOL since 87. I haven't hung up yet.
That's why we can't get through.
I know. I keep trying to dial Duffy. No.
It'll never work. It'll never work.
860-0850, the buzz. 860-0850. Talk again about and getting back into internet and stuff. AT&T now to offer high-speed connections to businesses. And that's, let me read it first. AT&T is wooing business customers with a variety of high-speed internet connections. backed by guarantee on performance and reliability. Although rival companies such as MCI and Sprint have been offering high-speed internet links for years, AT&T plans to differentiate itself through its guarantee. For instance, if a customer connection goes down for 15 minutes, he or she will receive a credit for a full day of service up to 10 days a month. We intend to be the leading internet provider for business, says AT&T World Networking Director. And I'm reading it and I'm saying, wow, you know, what a guarantee. You know, and I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, I'm over here getting ready to fall asleep.
We got our lines from Time Warner.
Mm-hmm.
And if, with Time Warner, if the service goes down for 1 second, they give you the whole month free. And it happened. And it happened. Here comes AT&T. Talk about if it goes down for 15 minutes, you get a whole day.
Nice. You know? If it goes down for 15 minutes, they should have Paul Reiser call you personally and apologize. Yeah.
I'd prefer Helen Hunt. I don't know about that.
She's not an AT&T spokesman.
No, but we can arrange that.
Yeah. Oh, they're just mad at you now.
Ah, yes.
I don't know why. It's always there. Always a day late.
A dollar short.
Because they're so big.
It's just amazing. It's just amazing.
What's the internet?
Jim, no, we can't get into it. I'll explain it to you when we come back.
I understand.
Right now. Your calls are coming up next on the station that want to pay your rent, your mortgage, and your car payment. 850 The Buzz.